Acts chapter number 16, if you would, please, this morning. We will look in the Word of God and trust God to speak to us today.
Amen.
Hope we've got our ears on. I know that's sometimes CB talk, but it'll work in the house of God. Have our ears on. I believe the effectiveness, a lot of the effectiveness of the Word of God is how we're listening. Amen. How we listen. A lot of emphasis in the Scriptures on our listening. On our listening. I know everybody can't preach here today, but everybody can listen. Amen. Everybody here today that I know of can listen. Amen. So I trust that you will listen as we read the Word of God. And keep in mind that's exactly what we are reading. The Word of God. Men have given their lives so you can have a Bible laid in your lap. Are you listening? Amen. Now, men didn't give their lives for these modern perversions that's out there. They've got prosperous and fat billfolds over all of that. Amen. That's why they put copyrights on it. So they have to sell it to you. There's no copyright on the King James Bible. Do you know that? We could set up a press in our church basement and print the King James Bible. Nobody can say a word. You know why? It's God's Word. It's not for sale. Amen. That's right. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Where would we be today without the Bible? What would we know today without the Bible? We wouldn't know nothing. Everything we know about Jesus comes from this book. Everything we know about ourselves and our sin and our need of salvation, all of it comes from the Word of God. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. Don't let it lose ground in your life. Don't let it be a lack of priority in your life. You ought to be a vital part. You ought to marry yourself to this book. Amen. You ought to marry. Listen, you ought not to be able to go through a day without the Word of God. Amen. That's right. A lot of people go to church day morning and bring their Bible. I've seen people come to this church service after 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 service. Never bring their Bible. Whether you know it or not, that tells me a whole lot about your spirituality. You ought to be able to come to church, you ought to forget your shoes before you forget your Bible. As soon as you walk out the door without your shoes, you instantly you know, oh, man. You know why? Because you're so used to wearing them. First time you step on a little something, ow! Oh, I forgot my shoes. As you go out, listen, come to the house of God without the Bible, it ought to be a conscious awareness. Man, I've got to get my Bible. Amen. Amen. If you don't have your Bible, it may be a sign that your Bible don't have you. All right, that's message number one. Acts 16. Amen. Let's begin our reading in Acts chapter 16. We'll just kind of break in on the story here with Paul and Silas. And let's just start in verse 16 of Acts 16. And the Bible said, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. What a testimony. And that testimony came from demons. I wonder if demons knows that you're saved. I wonder if devils and demons knows that you're servants of the Most High God. That's something to think about, isn't it? And these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. I believe there's a point to be brought out at that point right there, that if you serve the Lord, everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to like you. There'll be people that'll look at you as a troublemaker. If you serve the Lord and do the will of God, just like light and darkness, turn the light on, what does it do to people that's in darkness? Disturbs them. They don't like it. Amen. Where's light? Their sinners are said to be in darkness. And if we get around them shining the light, they're not going to like it. Accuse you of troubling. Verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Now, what caused Paul and Silas to get in trouble here was they crossed the people in two areas. They crossed them first in their treasures. The hope of their gains was gone. They couldn't make no more money off of that woman because she got saved. She's no longer a servant of the devil. Now she belongs to God. And the hope of their gains was gone. So Paul got in the way of them making their money, and they had it in for her. Boy, I found that to be true today. You get in the way of somebody's billfold, and they liable to cut your head off. But the second place he got in the way of that got him in trouble, not only their treasures, but their tradition. I mean, I've seen hornet's nest in churches, and it was all because truth contradicted tradition, and people chose tradition over truth. All right. Anyway, that can be preached more, but I'm going to go on. I got a lot to deal with, and I'm going to probably take both services today. We'll deal with our thought. So don't panic when we start preaching. It don't seem like we're getting to the end. We probably won't get to the end till tonight. So, amen. All right. And the multitudes, verse 22, and the multitudes rose up to gather against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Note that term, beat them. Verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, and drew out his sword, and would have killed himself. Supposing that the prisoners had fled. He couldn't see, and I'll bring that out in a minute. There was a plague of darkness in this prison. A plague of darkness. And this jailer couldn't see if the prisoners was there or not there. And he knew the penalty if they had escaped, his life was over, because he was accountable for them. Now watch this right here. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, and supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. The jailer couldn't see them, but he could hear them. And Paul made it clear, we're here. What's this? Then he called for a light. That's another reason that it's dark. If it's not dark, why call for a light? It's dark. It's midnight. That's when they're in the jail right here. This scene is taking place at the midnight hour. Verse 25, it was at midnight they were praying and singing praises. Midnight is dark. No lights on. All right, look here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, dark, washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let these men go. In other words, they knew they'd messed up. But what's Paul's response? Now, if that had been me, I'd have said, I'm out of here. Of course, as soon as the doors opened, I'd have been out of there. I'd have been gone, wouldn't you? That's right. But Paul and them stayed put because they knew God had put them there. It's easy to stay put when you know God put you where you're supposed to be. Amen? And so they sent the sergeant and said, let these men go. And the keeper of the prison, verse 36, told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart, go in peace. And Paul said unto them, they have beaten us. There's the reference to the beating again. They have beaten us openly or publicly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? They did their business publicly, and they're wanting us to leave privately? So that they could fabricate a story that Paul and Silas had escaped? Don't think the devil won't fabricate a lie on you. He can't get you to fall factually. He'll try to get you to fall through fabricated stories. Paul said in latter part of verse 37, nay, no, I'm not going to leave privately. I'm not going to slip out the back door. Even though it is right, it's permitted, they're telling us to do it, I'm not going to do that. He said, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. They beat us. They were responsible for us being in here and beating us. Tell them to come personally and fetch us out. Read what Paul told them while he was leading them out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. I probably wanted them to hang around a while. If they were of the truth, and God sent an earthquake to honor their lives and their stand, I believe I'd want them to hang around and tell me the truth and preach to me the truth. They said, hey, get out of here. We don't want you around here. We don't want what you're saying. We don't want how you're living. We don't want none of that around here. But here's what he said. In verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. I want to preach this morning and tonight probably, if the Lord will help us, on the subject beat down but not beat up. Or beat up but not beat down. There are several references, verse 22 and 23, to them being beaten. Also, I pointed out verse 33, it referenced the stripes. Verse number 37, Paul said they have beaten us openly. So they were beaten up. You could look at them and see the blood. You could look at them and see the stripes. They were beat up. But verse 25, among the other verses in the text, shows us that they were beat up but not beat down. Because even though beat up, they were in the prison at midnight, an uncommon hour. It was dark as we say as midnight. And guess what? What were they doing? They were praying and praising the Lord. They were beat up physically, but they were not beat down spiritually. Now listen to me. You have say-so. You may not have say-so on what beats you up. Life will beat you up sometimes. Situations will beat you up. Circumstances will beat you up in life. Amen. A lot of people are beat up physically. Their physical condition keeps them beat up all the time. A lot of people are beat up financially. Their financial status beats on them all the time and keeps them bruised and battered all the time. Some are beat up mentally. They're just enslaved to fear and anxiety and worry and what's going to happen next and you know, beat up with hopelessness and beat up with despair and beat up. Some are beat up with grudges and some are beat up with unforgiveness and some are beat up with carnality. And Lord, that's just a small list that could be mentioned of a big list of things that'll beat you up. But just as things would beat you up, you may not have say-so on some of those things. You may not have invited some of the things that are beating you up. You may not welcome some of the things that are beating you up. But here's the thing. You do have a choice as to whether it beats you down. Because things that beat you up is outward. But if you're beat down, that's inward. If you're beat up on the outside from circumstances and surroundings and situations, that's one thing. But it's another if you're beat down on the inside, where you've lost your drive, you've lost your enthusiasm, you've lost your zeal, you've lost your excitement, you've lost your power, you've lost your intimacy with the Lord. We can handle being beat up. Our church could survive being beat up on the outside, but we will not survive if we're beat down on the inside. On the inside. And I promise you, anytime you go to church and the spiritual level is laying on the floor, it's not because people are beat up. We've excused that. We've used that as an excuse. Well, preacher, of course I'm not going to smile. Look what a week I've had. Of course, preacher, I'm not going to be attentive. Of course I'm not going to be alert. Of course I'm not going to be excited. Preacher, look what has happened to me. In other words, we're using what has beat us up as an excuse for our deadness. You may persuade me of that. And I may persuade you of that. But we'd never persuade Paul of that. Because Paul's whole Christian life was a beat up experience. Every time he turned around, he was being introduced to stripes and scars and hardships and adversities. But yet we find Paul being a positive Christian, being one that is powerful, one that is going forward, one that is... Listen, well, let me give you a good example. From the Philippian jail that he was in here with his back bleeding with stripes, he wrote the four chapters that makes up the epistle of Philippians. The whole book of Philippians, the key to it, the key word is joy. Now wait a minute, Paul, you're in a prison. Wrongfully put there. You're in a prison, Paul. Your back's bleeding. Your feet's in stocks. Paul, you've been in a dark experience. Paul, how in the world? Hey, he said, look, I may be beat up and yeah, my back may be bleeding. But he said, I want you to know my spirit's not beat up. I want you to know my spirit's not beat down. I'm still excited about being saved. I still count it a joy to endure sufferings for the name of Christ. So it's one thing to be beat up, but it's another thing to be beat down. And this is the most beat down Christian generation that I've ever seen. Preachers included. It's hard to find anybody that's got any joy. It's hard to find a preacher that's got any joy. You know why? They're beat up. But they've allowed the beating up on the outside to get into inside and cause them to get beat down in their spirit. Amen. It's sort of like the ship in the sea. As long as the sea is on the outside of the ship, it may beat against it and toss it to and fro and rock it and reel it and roll it. But when the danger happens is when the sea starts getting in the ship. It can be beat up, but it's for sure going to be beat down if the sea out external gets on the internal. It's going to go down. It's natural for the ship to be on the sea, but it's not natural for the sea to be in the ship. And as we sail through life, brother, there's going to be storms. You cannot escape it. You cannot escape hardships. You cannot escape adversity. No matter how hard you try, Because we've got an adversary that'll see to it. You've got a flesh that'll see to it. We're living in a world that will see to it. It's going to be a part of your journey. We're sailing through. There'll be storms. There'll be opposition. There'll be hard times. But we need to make sure that it don't put a hole in us. We need to make sure, my friend, that what gets in us and those storms, some of you have been, what was you in? Was you in the Navy? Some of those storms, no matter how hard you try or how big your ship is, there's going to be some water that's going to splash over and it's going to get in the inside and going to slip in through the cracks. But, oh, you ought to have a bilge pump. That bilge pump, it's down in the bottom, out of sight, unseen, but very necessary. It's a telling that water that gets in the ship, you don't belong here. We're getting you out. Some of you need to activate the spiritual bilge pump of prayer and forgiveness, amen, and say the things that gets in your life that you know is going to sink you. You ought to say, out of here. Amen. But if you ignore it, say, it don't matter. Big ship. Man, it's a big ship. It don't matter. It's a big ship. And we're expert sailors. We've been trained. We know how to operate. We know how to deal with it. Well, just go ahead and ignore the little leak. Go ahead and ignore the little hole. Ignore the little trickle. Ignore it, buddy. And I'll tell you what was once just a minor issue will become a major issue. How many holes does it take to sink a ship? One small hole, if left alone, will sink a battleship in time. Amen. We better get our eyes on what's getting on the inside. Are you listening? Most people today's got so much garbage on the inside. I'm telling you, bad attitudes and bitterness and unforgiveness. And are you listening? And lustful desires and carnal desires. And you know, and we're 500 miles away from the Lord sometimes. And I tell you, we better not treat that lightly, because there's an enemy that's not only wanting to beat you up, but he wants to take it to the ultimate level of beating you down, getting it on the inside, suppressing your spirit to where you have no joy anymore. The liveliest place in this country today ought to be RBT. There ought not to be a worldly establishment of any kind that's got more excitement than RBT. Why are we not? Well, preacher, I know what some of you are going to say. You're going to bring up what's beating you down, or beating you up. You're going to mention what's beating you up. Well, this and well, that. And you know, from a human standpoint, it may look legitimate. It may look legitimate. You know, well, preacher, after all, I've had a hard time. And who hasn't? I mean, if we're going to pass out handkerchiefs and tissues, we might as well all get a box, amen? Because all of us have had hard times. Are you listening? Some of us maybe more than others, and none of us in the light of what Paul went through, and definitely none of us in light of what Jesus went through. But you never see Jesus whining. You never see Jesus over in the corner saying, well, I don't think it's worth it. Well, I don't believe I'm going to go to church today because I've had a bad week and my toes are hurting. No, buddy, you find in the book of Hebrews where the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even on the cross, you don't find Jesus beat down. He's beat up. Don't you ever think he wasn't beat up. You ought to study the cat of nine tails scourging if you don't think he wasn't beat up. Most of the people that went through that part of crucifixion, that part of the process, never lived beyond it. Is that cat of nine tails, leather straps covered with bone and glass? My friend, and when it would hit the hide of the prisoner or the criminal, of the person, my friend, and they would jerk it back, and it would literally rip the hide off. It would, and they said it was not uncommon, my friend, so that when a person went through that process, that their entrails was hanging out, and they was their visage, their appearance was marred to the point that they almost was not recognizable as a human being. Did not Isaiah 53, Jesus say that His visage was marred more than any man? I'm saying He's beat up. My example was beat up. My leader, my Lord, my friend, the one I'm supposed to be like, the one I'm following, the one I'm to pattern my life after, got beat up. Everywhere He went, He was rejected. Everywhere He went, He was lied on. Are you listening? Basically, what I'm saying by using Jesus is that we don't have nothing to whine about. He was lied on. You know He was. He was called names. He was called Beelzebub. The prince of the devils. Huh? That's right. And you know, just all kinds of lies. But did He quit? Did He ever get beat down? Show me where He ever got beat down. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it looked that He was being beat up with the situation and the pressures and the hardships that was coming in His life. But even to the point of stress, that His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. Yet He uttered the words, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." The flesh, the human side of Christ was beat up, and no doubt weakness said I was creeping in on the human side. But oh, even at that point in the garden, Jesus in His spirit, buddy, rose up and said, "Thy will be done." Boy, we get beat up sometimes. Boy, it seems like the human side of us. See, you're a double part, two natured person. You know that if you're saved. You have the flesh nature, the human nature, and then you have the divine nature, which is God's nature. Amen? And sometimes we're not careful when we're getting beat up. We'll look at it and try to handle it with the human nature. Well, the human nature's going to get weak. The human nature's going to get tired of it. The human nature's going to run or start fighting back. We better not deal with hardships of life in the flesh with words I can say or with things I can do. Amen. Or, you know, we better watch that because the flesh profiteth nothing. There is nothing good in the flesh. Nothing good. Your flesh is your enemy. And if you get beat up with situations in life, you better not deal with it from the human perspective. You better let the Spirit in you rise up and say, "Thy will be done." It's not about us anyhow. It's about Him and His will and His work. Are you listening? You could go to 2 Corinthians 11 and you could find in verse 24 and 25 where Paul testifying of himself and giving a list of things that he had encountered. He said there, "Five times received I 40 stripes, save one." Five times. That's 195 stripes that he was beat with. The next verse says, "Thrice was I beaten with rods." Rods with an S. Meaning there were more than one person that had a rod in their hand beating on the Apostle Paul. And we don't know how many stripes were involved in that. It could have been as much as 250 plus stripes that Paul had encountered. But did Paul ever get beat down? Beat up? Yes. Beat down? No. Being beat up is natural. Not being beat down is spiritual. Are you listening to me? I wasn't even dealing with all that, but I like it. This whole message, let me share something with you. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Talking about being beat up versus beat down. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 8. Now I want you to notice this, as Paul gives this list, he gives one statement, and then he comes right on the tail end of that statement and makes a greater statement. Well, here's what I want you to see. When he gives this list, the first of the list in each one is the outward, him being beat up, testimony. But the second statement he will make on the tail end of it, and I'll show it to you, is the inner or the spiritual that was not beat down. Look at it. We are troubled on every side. That's that exterior. That's that outward being beat up. But here's the inside scene, yet not distressed. Outside, we are perplexed. Inside, but not in despair. Outside, we're persecuted. Inside, but not forsaken. Outside, we're cast down, but inside, in the Spirit, but not destroyed. Paul is saying, yes, we had problems, and yes, we were beat up. Yes, we were, but I want you to know that on the inside, we were not beat down. Being beat up, you may not have a choice in that, but being whether you get beat down or not is a choice. I'm just going to let us all know this morning, whether we like it or not, if we're dead this morning, if we're defeated this morning, it's because we've made a choice to allow it. Now, I don't want you to think I'm some spiritual giant with a big S on my chest. I'm not. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm talking about what we all supposed to be. Amen? And what I want to be. I don't want to be a weakling. The Bible said if you faint in the book of Proverbs, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Anybody can be a sunshine Christian, a fire weather Christian. Anybody can go to church and carry a Bible as long as everything's fine. And I'm going to tell you folks, I'm not a prophet of doom, but I'm going to tell you friend, this country is headed down the tubes morally. This country is headed down the tubes economically. It's headed down the tubes spiritually. Hard times is coming on the church. I was talking to Brother Buster Mullins who will be preaching Friday night in our Jubilee. And listen, if you've never heard him, you've got to be here. He's God's choice servant for this hour. I was talking to him on the phone the other night. And he said, Preacher, did you know back when Janet Reno, what was she, the Attorney General or something, when they got together and they put together, I think it was like 10 things that would identify a cult. 10 things that would identify a cult. He said, Preacher, do you realize that Rock, what's the name of his church? Rock, Little Rock. He said, do you realize, Preacher, that I got that list and I got to looking, and Little Rock Baptist Church, Bible-believing church, lines up with 9 out of the 10. A Bible-preaching, fundamental church lines up with 9 out of 10 that this stinking government, my friend, has set out as a guideline to identify a cult. Are you listening? We've not had outward pressure yet much, but it's coming. I told Brother Mullins when we were talking about this, I said, I wonder how many of us, I wonder how many in your church, I wonder how many in my church, when the heat gets on, will bail out. Would we have enough the next service to even turn the lights on? Let me let you on a little secret how you can kindly identify if you'd be one of the bail-outers. If when you're getting beat up right now just a little bit and it knocks you out of the traces, mark it down. Go ahead and write it in front of your Bible. I'll bail out when the heat gets on. It don't take nothing to knock people out of church anymore. That's right. Well, that's kind of, don't feel too swift. But they'll go punch a clock on Monday morning. That's right. Faithfulness in the house of God is still taught in the Bible. It is commanded in the Bible. Are you listening? I've preached it for 27 and a half years and will continue to do so. Faithfulness to the house of God. It's a matter of priority. It's a matter of whether, how much you love Jesus. But anyway, listen, being beat up, it's coming. It's going to happen. Some of you are beat up right now. It shows on your face. Of course, I know what I was going to be preaching this morning, so I've been kind of looking at people. In the choir, in here, in Sunday school, just kind of looking. And I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, if I've ever had the right message, it's now.
Amen.
Beat up. And I'm not making light of what's beating you up. I'm not making light of your beating. I'm not making light of your circumstance. I'm not making light of your situation no more than I would want you to make light of me. When a tragedy strikes, I don't want you to call up and say, oh, preacher, suck it up. You know? I mean, how crude would that be? You know? Mom and Dad both died there in a short span of time. Call up, say, oh, preacher, everybody's parents die. Suck it up. I wouldn't want you to do that to me, and I wouldn't do that to you. But I want to tell you what, I do want to go on. I'm not going to say, well, Mom and Daddy's dead, I'm going to quit. My grandparents that so influenced my life, they're gone also. I'm just going to quit. Pressure's coming, pressure's going, pressure's everywhere. We're just going to bail out. Well, if that's the case, you'd never go back to work. Is there not pressure on the job? Nod your head like that. Is there not pressure on the job? How many loves going to work every day? No, if you know that you've got things you've got to deal with, people gets under your skin, some people gets on your nerves, guess what? You still got to punch a clock. You can't call in and say, hey, I tell you what, I don't like the situation at hand, I'm not coming. And they say, well, if you don't come today, don't come tomorrow, you're done. You can be replaced. Are you listening? Oh, yes. RBT, listen. We may not can stop us getting beat up at times with situations. And we ought to be sensitive of that to other people. We ought to be sensitive to that. We ought to be able to try to discern when somebody is being beat up. And have a little compassion and a little concern. Maybe a call or a handshake or a kind word. Every time we come to church, listen to me. Listen, I'm not rambling. I'm not running rabbits. I'm preaching. I'm not near where I thought I was going to be by this point. That's all right. We have to take 4 or 5 services. It don't matter. God's wanting us to get this. He don't want us, when we're getting beat up, to get beat down. The world gets beat up and they also get beat down. Well, what do? They go to drugs and drinking and immorality to deal with it. Are we going to be like them? Do we not have something better than what they've got? They're watching us. They're watching you when you go through a storm. They're watching you when you're being beat up with a situation and a circumstance. And they're going to watch how you'll react. If you react with a beat down from being beat up, then they're going to probably say, well, ain't nothing, you don't have no more than I do. But when they see you just keep pressing on, they know what's going on in your life, but you still read your Bible and pray. You still go to church and give to missions. You still love Jesus. Amen. Participate in the things of God. And got a good attitude and smile. Act like salvation's a blessing instead of a burden. Are you listening? God help us. God don't want us to be beat down. It ain't His will. It ain't His will. It's not His will. It may be His will at times for us to get beat up. You can read 1 Peter. The whole book's about suffering. 1 Peter deals with suffering. Are you listening? There may be times that we'll suffer as a Christian. There'll be times, as Paul did here, suffer for doing right. Listen, sometimes we're going to get beat up. But I want you to know we do have a choice. We do have some say-so on whether the external becomes internal. The circumstance, we do have say whether the circumstance becomes our condition. Are y'all getting this? Beat up, but not beat down. This message basically is going to deal with those that continue to serve God in dark times. Paul and Silas was in the dark. They were beat up. But what did they do? They continued. As Brother Jeremy said last Sunday night, carry on. Amen? That's right. We're not a bunch of wimps. We're soldiers. America would never, listen, America would have never won any wars in its history if it sent to the battlefield national soldiers that would have the stamina as the church has got that's called soldiers. Well, the first shot fired, every one of them quit and run the house. They wouldn't even make it through boot camp. I'd hate to know our national soldiers had more stamina and grit and determination than I do as a soldier of the cross. Pressure's coming, folks. I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm not trying to cause you to go get in your car after a while. You know, like this right here, it ain't no hope. No, I'm trying to be a realist this morning and let you know, friend, that hard times will be a portion of the Christian journey. Job said, man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Your very birth brings in the days of trouble. But how are you going to deal with it? You're either going to deal with it, listen, are y'all listening? You're going to deal with it. You're going to deal with being beat up. You're going to deal with it physically or carnally. Or you're going to deal with it spiritually. Amen. Amen. God help us. Well, amen. The whole intent behind being beat up in Paul's case here in Acts 16 was to beat them down. They were beating them up, hoping they'd beat them down and shut them up where they wouldn't ever talk anymore, testify anymore about Jesus. Are you listening to this preacher this morning? God may be trying to get us to see something, and I'm telling you, I've got a lot of stuff to deal with. A lot of stuff to deal with. And I hope God will help us with it. But the whole intent behind your being beat up is to get you beat down. Get you beat down. Amen? To produce slackness, negligence, unfaithfulness, bitterness, unforgiveness, defeat, discouragement, depression. Put all those things in your life. To where you become a used-to-be Christian. Where you become a has-been. So that when people talk about you in your family, talks about you at the workplace, talks about you at school, talks about you in the neighborhood, they'll refer to you, oh yeah, well that, yeah, they used to go to church. Yeah, they used to witness to me. And yeah, they used to sing. They used to teach. They used to preach. They used to testify. They used to. I want to serve notice, friend. We're not Eustace. That's not a word, but I made it one. We're not Eustace. Used to be, used to work, used to serve, used to go to church, used to be excited, used to testify. We're the still arters. We still are. Beat up? Yes! Beat down? No! There ought to be a resolve that swells up in your spirit that says no to circumstances that's trying to beat you down. No, you're not going to beat me down. You may beat me up, but you're not going to beat me down. Amen. That's right. Some of you here today, back in your younger years, probably used to fight a circle saw and it running. Come on. Fight a circle saw and it running. Did you ever get whipped? Oh, I knew several times, Brother Dave, before I went into a fight, I was whooped. But I just didn't let them know I know that.
That's right.
I just didn't want to let them know that I knew that I was the negative in the situation. Huh? How many times I got beat up. But I wasn't about to give up. And some of those that did whip me had respect for me because I wasn't a quitter and a runner. I'm not advocating physical fight. I'm not advocating that at all. I'm just using to say a point here that, friend, problems is coming, hardships are going to come. And my friend, listen, we may get in a battle. We may get in a spiritual fight, and we are in one. And there'll be scars, and there'll be wounds, and there'll be bruises on you spiritually. But we need to make sure and just serve notice and say with all that's within us, by the grace of God, when we're beat up, we're not going to get beat down. Amen. Now listen to this. Now you can beat yourself up. If you're not careful, the devil don't have to beat you up because you can beat yourself up. And I'll tell you what else too. If you keep beating yourself up, it won't be long till you'll have beat yourself down. And the devil's sitting back there and never hit the first lick. He's just saying, look at that. Look at that. Huh? Don't even have to fire a shot. You're beating yourself up. Beating yourself down. Hey, listen. Humility is not talking meanly about yourself. This is not a humble statement. I tell you what, I'm sorry and dirt. I ain't worth a lead it'd take to blow my brains out. I ain't worth a salt in my bread. That's not humility. That's stupidity. Humility don't put yourself down. Humility just don't think of yourself at all. How many people do you know that's got an inferiority complex and are always talking themselves down? Let me tell you, friend, there's two areas that's very dangerous that'll destroy you. One will just as quick as the other. One is when you think too much of yourself. And the other is when you think too little of yourself. Amen. That's right. Well, praise God anyway. But they're beating themselves down. And then, of course, others will beat you down. That's right. How many of us have been beat down by friends? So-called friends. Friends to your face and find out on the phone or find out on time it makes a loop around through the grapevine, it gets back to you and found out they talked about you. Let me just say this to you. Here's a good rule of thumb. Here's just a good rule of thumb. If they'll talk about others to you, they'll talk about you to others. Hello. Y'all didn't get that. That went. See, that's what happens when a preacher makes a good statement and your mind's out through yonder somewhere. He goes. Are you listening? I'm going to preach it anyway. What you do with it, whether you get it, whether you don't get it, that's up to you. I'm preaching what God spoke to my heart about. Are you listening? Others will beat you up. Others will beat you up. When they talk about you, when they criticize you, whatever, listen, they'll beat you up. But are you going to let it beat you down? Here's the thing. Let me deal with this. Are you listening? They were not beat down by darkness. The whole passage of Scripture deals with darkness. It was midnight when they prayed. That was dark. Let's just go down through there. It was midnight in verse 25. There was an earthquake came. The doors were open and the bands were loose. And I already made mention that the jailer was awake out of sleep. He didn't even know that they were still present because he could not see them. Paul cried with a loud voice in verse 28. Listen, Paul couldn't even see the prisoner. Think about this. The jailer. Think about it. If the jailer couldn't see them because of darkness, Paul couldn't see the jailer because of darkness, but yet he knew that he had drew his sword. He heard it unsheathed. Paul was sensitive, even in darkness, to listen. Pay attention to what others are doing, what sounds he's hearing. We need to listen to people when they talk, because we might hear some sounds in their voice and in things they say. My friend, listen, sounds that will identify that they're in a bad shape. Paul didn't see the jailer no more than the jailer saw Paul. Paul had to testify we were all here for the jailer to even know they were still there. Paul didn't see the jailer, but he heard that sword unsheathed and he knew the law and he knew the penalty of a jailer. If prisoners escaped, they was responsible with their own life. And that Roman jailer, knew how torturous that Romans could be, And he thought, well, I'd rather just kill myself than for them to do it. And he unsheathed that sword, and Paul spoke out of the darkness with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. The jailer, when he realized what was going on, he sprang in and he called for a light. I mean, all through this passage, you find darkness until the jailer gets saved. Darkness. Listen, are we going to be beat down by darkness? Physical darkness? Spiritual darkness? Listen, here's some things Paul encountered. I'm not going to preach them, I'm just going to give them to you. He encountered physical afflictions. We don't know what we're going to go through physically. You? We're the sick. America's one of the sickest nations in the world. Are you listening? Go to the hospital, any of them, anytime, day or night, it's full, packed. Brother McCarricker works up at Indian Path, full all the time, ain't brother? Go there with about five breaths left from death, and you have to be put on a waiting list to get an emergency room. Sick. Physical afflictions. What are you going to do? We don't know. None of us know. And I'm glad I don't know. I'm glad I don't know about what's in the future for me physically. I don't know. Are you listening? Now, I'm not laying awake at night, my friend, being paranoid with it either. On my daddy's side, Alzheimer's was pretty rampant on my daddy's side. On mama's side is brain aneurysms. Or aneurysms. My mama died with an aneurysm. Are you listening? I had Allenby, Brother Stanley's mama, died with a brain aneurysm. My mama's brother, Kenneth, died in a shower with a brain aneurysm. Am I going to lay awake at night and say, oh! Are you listening? Concerned? Oh, yeah. Doing things to try to ward those things off and make sure that's not going to be me? Yeah. But to worry myself to sick over it and being paranoid? No, not me, buddy. Amen. I said I wasn't going to preach on, but I had to preach that in a little bit. Physical afflictions. Spiritual rejection. Paul was rejected in this text. Trying to do right. Trying to preach right. And he got rejected. Militant opposition. Undeserved disrespect or treatment. Impending danger. Paul didn't know if he was going to live or die as a result of that Philippian jail experience. He didn't know if he was going to get out, if they was going to kill him. It didn't matter to him as long as Christ was magnified in his body. Impending danger. Another thing, lack of mobility. Paul was in stocks. He couldn't move around. He was at the same place the next day as he was the day before. If you're not careful, you'll get the thought, I ain't really going nowhere, preacher. I ain't seemingly really doing nothing. Well, maybe God's got you locked down right where you are so you can minister to somebody close to where you're at. Paul didn't look down at his feet, Brother Henry, and say, well, I'm in stocks and I don't have no mobility. I can't move around. I can't go and do. So I'm limited. I can't do. No, he realized, well, I can't go anywhere, so I might as well preach right here. I can't go anywhere, so I might as well pray right here. I can't go anywhere, so I might as well praise God right here. I can't go anywhere, so I might as well witness to somebody right here. And he did do that. Chapter 4 of the book of Philippians. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi from this scene, from this jail, from a Roman prison at Philippi. He's writing to the church, and he's telling them, closing the chapter 4, he said, the brethren that are with me greet you. Now, if he'd have just been talking about Silas, he'd have said, the brother that's with me, greet thee. Brethren is plural. Where'd them brethren come in at? When they got saved, those fellow prisoners and those guards was saved, they become a brother. And then he went on down, read it. It's the last two or three verses there of the closing chapter of Philippians, chapter 4. You'll find where he says, and the saints of Caesar's household salute thee. Saints in Caesar's household, referring to the prison, the confinement. Saints, where did those saints come in? Paul taking advantage of just being a Christian where he was at. Witnessing to people. Winning people to the Lord. And you can go on into a deeper study and you can find where they had shifts that they would chain guards to Paul. How would you like to have been, as a lost person, chained up for 6-8 hours to the Apostle Paul? Remember what he had talked to you about? He would wait till the lock got snapped and say, "Hey, my name is Paul. Used to be Saul. But let me tell you about when I used to be Saul of Tarsus. Let me tell you about my pre-converted days. Let me tell you about what I was before I met the Master, before I was made new, before I was born from heaven, before I was indwelt by the Holy Spirit, made a child of the King. Let me tell you about when I used to persecute the church and now I'm preaching to the church." And I could see that guard say, "It's going to be a long night." And then he talked about Paul being saved. And then right on down the line. And "Let me, sir, what's your name? Have you ever been saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" "Well, I'm a Roman. I adhere to the Roman laws. I adhere to the Roman religion." "Well, let me tell you about the falseness of that. Let me tell you about the corruption of that. Let me tell you about it." "Huh? Oh, yeah. That's right." And they would get saved one after another, so that when he wrote, he says, "Saints and Caesar's household and the brethren that are with me." If we quit whining about where we're not going and make use of where we are at, I think we'd do a lot better. Because if you need to be there, God can get you there, but you're here and you're in your present condition. You're where you're presently at, my friend, and that could cover all of your bases in your life. God's got you there. Serve Him right there. And when it's time to move on, He'll move you. Amen? You think Paul would have wanted out? "Paul, if you had your rathers, would you rather be in here or would you rather be out there free?" Well, of course he'd say, "Well, I'd rather be out there, but you know, God's got me in here. And by the way, outwardly I'm not free, but inwardly I am. Outwardly I'm being beat up, and outwardly I'm in confinement. Outwardly I'm in bondage. Outwardly I'm in these stocks, but inwardly I'm free as a bird." Amen? Beat up outwardly, but not beat down inwardly. You can't put a handcuff on the spirit. You can't put your spirit man in the stocks. You can't, listen, amen. You can put the physical in a jail cell, but you can't put the spiritual in a jail cell. See, what was breaking out there at midnight was not the physical. It was what was inside of Paul and them. You know why they prayed at midnight? Because they prayed before they even went to jail. You know why they were singing praises? Because they'd done that before they ever went to jail. See, what you do before a trial has a lot to say of what you're going to do in it. You know why the three Hebrew children in Daniel, the book of Daniel, was faithful in the fiery furnace? Because they were faithful before the furnace. If you'll be faithful before the furnace, Jesus will be faithful in the furnace. Amen. God help us. Well, amen. I'm trying to find a cutoff point. Dark times will be a part of your journey. Let me give you this right here. I'll be done in just a minute. Or we're going to unhook. Listen to this. In 1 Peter, listen to what the Bible says here. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, Peter writing to those that were scattered and persecuted and all that. Let's see here. Let me get my scripture here. I had it right to begin with. Yeah, I did. 1 Peter chapter 1. He goes through here and he gives a heavenly scene, verse 3, 4, and 5 of chapter 1. And then in verse 6, he starts dealing with heaviness. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness, through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So he went from the heavenly scene, verse 3, 4, and 5, to dealing with the heavy scene in verse number 6 and 7. But notice these words right here in verse, well, there's two sets of words here, making up three each. Verse number 6, notice the three words, for a season. You're greatly, though now, for a season. In other words, whatever you're going through, it's only seasonal. Then the next three words, I mean, I've got them highlighted. I've got them marked with a highlighter. I've got for a season highlighted, and I've got the next three words, if need be. God says everything that comes in a Christian's life that's trying to do the will of God falls in the heading of for a season and if need be. God sees that it's needful. Listen, Paul's experience wasn't needful for him. Paul wasn't in that prison because of something he's doing. Paul wasn't in that jail cell, Brother Chuck, because of what he had done, wrongdoing he had done. He was in that jail not for him, but for them. See, God knows how to position you and me to get us where we need to be, and it may not be for us, it may be for somebody else. I'm going to tell you, boy, I've got some good stuff. But listen, this is the second time in the last two or three weeks that we've been exposed to this chapter. Brother Craig preached it at the rest home. Several of us heard it. He preached it that next night, at Wednesday night, at our church, Acts 16. You know, he preached it again. Where I asked him to do. I said, "Bro, I believe you ought to preach that again." Preached it at our church again. And through all of that, God began to work in my heart about this thought of being beat up but not beat down, or staying upbeat in beat up times. I started to title it that. Being upbeat in beat up times. I want to be that, don't you? But listen here. Faith, somebody said like this, and I'm done for the morning anyway. Faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. Sometimes if you're not careful, you'll think of dark times, dark situations, as something real bad or real negative. And I've got the scriptures. We'll look at them tonight. God does some great things in the Bible at midnight. Some of the great things God did, some of the great things that are noted in that Bible was done at the midnight dark hour. And just one I'll mention just for you that maybe may not make plans coming back, but the book of Ruth, let me give you the verse so you know that I'm not rambling. Ruth 3 and verse 8, and it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, that is Boaz, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Ruth, Boaz is a type of Christ. Ruth is a type of the church. Guess what? It was at midnight, dark time, that Ruth made her move of intimacy and laid at the feet of Boaz. If there's ever a time that you need to draw nigh to our heavenly Boaz, it's in the midnight, dark times of your experience. Instead of run, quit church, lay out of church, all that, run to Him and get at His feet. No greater place to be in dark times than at the feet of our heavenly Boaz.